Thank you for joining us and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and today I'm coming to you live from Vancouver, Canada. Now, if this is the first time that you're watching or listening to the show, know that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. Now, I'd really appreciate it if you'd all do me a big favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media groups. Okay, I'll wait while you do that. No, I'm just kidding. Sharing my show with others that are just like it, that focus on improved health, happiness, education, and success is one powerful way we can make a positive influence in the world together. Now, our question today comes from multiple friends, clients, and listeners who have asked me to check out someone, usually too late, only to find out they've already been scammed. Now, the Federal Trade Commission in the United States tracks and reports on fraud complaints, including romance scams. In 2020, the FTC reported over 23,000 complaints related just to romance scams, with reported losses of over $300 million. However, these statistics do not capture the full scope of the issue, as many victims feel embarrassed or ashamed and choose not to report the scam. The simple answer is, check them out first. But going into depth on the subject, our guest, New York City resident and performer, Donna Marie Hayes, she can be found on a stage or in front of a camera, and she's a SAG-AFTRA actress and a cabaret singer. Her corporate life includes serving as a senior human resources professional. And as an ICF certified coach, she owns a practice dedicated to helping women replace victimhood with empowerment. Now, in her gripping and very honest memoir, These Broken Roads, Scammed and Vindicated, One Woman's Story, a Jamaican immigrant, Donna recounts how at the peak of her success in New York City, she scammed and robbed of her life savings by the love of her life, met on an online dating site, and how she vindicates herself to overcome a lifetime of bad choices. What happened? How did Donna find out? What advice does she have for women and men to help them to never suffer from being scammed like this? Well, stay with us as Donna shares how, after dealing with trauma and abuse, she rose to find her own power. Donna, welcome to Answers Network.
Thank you so much, Alan, and thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Well, it is my pleasure. And I think that before we talk about the book and your meeting Javier, can you share with us and with the audience your very interesting backstory?
Yeah, so I was born in Jamaica, West Indies, and I was raised by my grandmother until the age of 14. And during that 14-year period, I've always wanted to be with my mother. In the book, you'll see that I used to actually pray to her picture and my dad's picture. I didn't really know who they were. I had always had this, you know, sense of abandonment. So finally, I moved to the U.S. at the age of 14. That was in 1976. And it was a brand new world. I mean, where I lived in Jamaica, we didn't have electricity. We didn't have indoor plumbing. And here we had, you know, running water, color television, and all the amenities of living in the city. So that was quite interesting and quite nice. However, you know, my mom was very, very religious. So I was raised in a very strict Pentecostal household. So we were not allowed to, you know, I didn't experience any of the things that a typical teenager did. I've never been to a prom. I never been to the movies. We weren't allowed to watch television. We weren't allowed to play sports or wear makeup or, you know, it was something I wanted to do, but it was all about going to church and praying. So I was so secluded. I was living in this bubble of a life so that, you know, when I finally left the church, literally ran away from the church, I didn't even know what it was like to watch. I remember asking my first husband, can I turn on the television to to watch it in my own home because I didn't, it was just was not allowed. So I was very vulnerable. I was very naive. And I entered into a marriage because I think I was more running away from something versus running something. And as a result of that, they picked up on that. And both of my marriages turned out to be very abusive individuals, both physically and emotionally, until I actually met Javier in 2016, if that helps.
Yes, it does. And one of the reasons why is that I believe that so much of that is something that puts us in the position to where somebody like a scammer, they have this ability to be able to find that person that maybe is more naive, that isn't going to be able to discover them very quickly. So I think knowing the backstory, I think, is huge. And for anybody out there that has dealt with something like this, knowing that these people have a way in which they prey on others, and these are things that they seek out.
Absolutely. Because when I met Javier, one of the things that he asked so many questions. Uh-huh. Tell me about your childhood and tell me about this and tell me about that. Now, I interpreted that to mean he was really, really interested in me and my life and my background to get to know me better. But I now know that was just part of the grooming, because information that I gave him, he then used that against me, knowing some of the things that I'd been through.
And, we have a question that has come in. Let me find it. And again, I want to thank those people that take the time to send in questions. I know that many people, because they work in the middle of the day, so they'll send their question in the night before because they've received the press release. But there was one that I thought was very similar here. This one reads, I am a very busy businesswoman in a law office. I refuse to date within the firm, and then in parentheses it has client or coworker, and it says, and I don't meet many people outside the firm. What were the circumstances leading up to your being scammed that led you to use an online dating site? And this is from Meredith in Houston, Texas.
Sure, Meredith. So after my second marriage, which was, as I said, very abusive, I literally ran. I had to create and make up a story to actually flee. I said I was going in one direction, I was going in another direction, because I knew he would have hunted me, literally. And so I took 8 years. I took 8 years by myself. I all about self-care. I finished the marathon, I meditated, I went into therapy, and I did all of the things that I thought I was now ready to try. Because at that time, I'd only been in two relationships in my 54 years of existence, and both of them were husbands. So I didn't have a lot of experience. And someone suggested that I try this online dating site because they were customized to people over 50. And I thought someone at that stage of their life would be very similar to mine, would be someone that would be settled, would be someone that is at a point in their life that's really looking for a true connection. And so that's why I gave that a shot, because it was customized to people over 50.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. I know there's a lot of sites out there, and I know there are ones that are for a particular religion or yes. a particular culture. I mean, so there's lots of different ways in which people can. And I know people that have met that way, and it has worked out.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't mean that you never use these sites, but it doesn't mean that you don't still be careful.
Correct.
That's
absolutely correct.
So let's talk about now you've now met Javier on this, the dating website.
Yes.
Tell us how that went, how quickly things materialized.
Certainly. So I met him in January of 2016. We spoke on the phone for about 2 weeks, sending pictures and texts and things of that nature. Then we decided to meet. And we met at a restaurant here in Manhattan on the Upper West Side. He took me to dinner and we had a lovely time. We sat and we chatted. He told me all about his sons and showed me pictures. And he was just very kind and very caring and very doting, if you will. And I decided, okay. I mean, there were a few people that I'd also met on that website, but he was the first person that really kind of pulled me in, that I thought he was really a genuine person. And for the first couple of months, we did so many things. We went hiking. I don't hike. You know, we went hiking. I went to the movies. We went to the museum. We went to escape rooms. We rode the Staten Island Ferry just for fun. We went walking. And I spent literally every weekend with him. So when you think of scams, you think of someone who you've never met. You think of someone who's hiding behind a computer screen in a faraway land with a sob story, and then people send them money randomly because they believe they are who they say they are. That was not the case. I spent every weekend, practically every weekend, with Javier. So I didn't see that coming when it actually happened, if that answered the question.
Yeah, it answers it quite well. And you touched on the other kind of scam that, you know, that is rampant out there. And that is this, you know, somebody contacts you online. There's a new thing that's going on now to where, you know, they text you and they just say, hey, you know, looking, you know, don't forget to meet me at such and such, such and such or whatever. And then they want people to text back saying, I'm sorry, I think you got the wrong number, you know, I think you meant this to go to Annie and instead it came to me. And then they apologize and then they ask more about you.
Wow.
And so there are these like sweatshops, you know, just a bank of phones and they're just texting away, or a bank of computers, but they're texting away just to see how many people will actually respond to them. You know, so and even I get them, but I send them back saying or they'll send something saying my assistant put, you know, your number in my phone and I forgot to put down your name and what your business was. You know, can you please give me that? And so I had one that said that and I said, trust me, if we met, you would have remembered my name and you would have remembered my profession. I'm an international detective and I focus on international scams. Turns out they never contact me again.
I wonder why.
They don't try to be my friend. But anyway, but my point is that, so because you touched on it, I want to make sure everybody understands that this isn't just because you go onto a dating site or something like that. This can be somebody who's trying to reach you through your computer, through your phone. Unfortunately, they're out there and you need to be careful.
Absolutely.
So as this is going on, and again, you're saying he has painted this beautiful picture of what he's going to do, how he is and everything else. Mm-hmm. Did you ever have any early clues or premonitions, like something's wrong here?
At that time, I didn't think there were clues because he introduced me to his sister. Mm-hmm. I met his sister, I met his niece, I met his cousin, a FaceTime with his mom, a FaceTime with his son. So I did not think it really was. I mean, there were a few things. First of all, he professed his undying love for me very quickly in the relationship. And I now know that to mean that's someone really trying to keep you engaged and connected. Because he absolutely knew that I was very wounded. He knew I was coming out of an abusive situation. The other thing that he did, I have a deathly fear of all things rodent. If I see a rat, I will probably run into traffic. That's how terrified I was. He used that because I never saw his apartment, right? And I kept saying, you are always at my apartment. I want to go and see your apartment, because he told me that he lived with his mom. He said, in my building, there are so many rats. And in my apartment, there are rats, you know, we're trying to get a control. And he'd send me pictures. So that made me decide on my own.
Like, okay.
Okay, I don't want to see your apartment. That was not true. That was just his way of keeping me separated. He gave me just enough. So I FaceTime with his mom and I met his sister. He gave me just enough to make me feel comfortable. Should that happen again, all right, we're going to hold hands and we're going to walk through the rats, but I'm going to see you where you live, because that would have, you know, shown a light on really what was going on. So that I didn't see his apartment. The second thing, as I said, you know, professed his undying love for me very soon into the relationship. Christmas and Thanksgiving, he didn't spend those holidays with me and claimed that his mom is close to death and he wanted to spend the holidays with her. Don't want to give away too much in the book
about,
you know, what was really going on there. And I said, okay, that would be really insensitive of me to insist. No, spend it with me when your mother is dying.
Yeah, you would come off very insensitive.
Yeah, I would come off as very insensitive. So I didn't push, but that all, you know, now looking back, I now know that none of that was in fact true.
And along these same lines, many years ago, and unfortunately, my mother's passed within the last year, but she was single for much of her life, and she traveled. She was in sales for the business she was with. So she traveled, and she'd get asked out when she would be in other states. You know, she would be, you know, for a conference or something for a few days. And I guess after a while, some of the people realized she was single. So, but she got in the habit, she would just send me their information. So it would be, you know, she just, you know, in talking with them or something like that, you know, she'd do something in conversation to where, you know, they'd, you know, ask if, you know, what their date of birth is or something like that, you know, to see if, you know, what sign they are or something like that. And she would get their date of birth. So now she's got their full name. She's got their date of birth. You know, and they've talked about where he lives. We've got a city where they live. And she would call me from wherever she was at and say, here's the information. And I would run these guys to make sure that it was okay for her to go out with them. Yeah. And one of the times, if she was in Texas, and I ran this guy, and he'd been arrested multiple times for bilking women out of their life savings. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, and I was smiling knowing what she was going to do, because she said she went and met him like at the restaurant that was in the hotel that the conference was at. And she went over and just said, let me tell you something. It's not going to work with me. My son is a detective. We have checked you out. I suggest you get the hell out of this hotel now.
Yeah. And, you know, if you read in the book, I later found out that he had a criminal past, something he did decades earlier, like 30 years earlier. And at that time, I remember like the whole religious influence came to being. I'm like, who among us has never sinned, you know, cast the first stone type of thing? Or, you know, this is a person, this is a human being, this is someone who's, you know, I would say to him, what you did in your past does not define you. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I was meeting his parents, and I know many people who have turned their lives around, and he seemed like a genuinely nice person. And I went about redecorating him, or renovating him rather, like an old house.
Yes.
You know, I set up interviews and he went on these interviews. I prepared his resume. I prepared his cover letter. I connected him with individuals in my network. And he went on these interviews as if he was genuinely looking for more gainful employment. So I didn't think that what was behind all of this was the fact that he really wanted to steal.
Right.
You know?
And I get that. And I agree with you. You know, as far as, you know, I've hired people that, you know, that had some things in their past but felt very comfortable with the fact that, you know, they have chosen a different path now.
Right. And
I don't think either one of us are suggesting that you shouldn't give people a chance.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as you were saying that, it was reminding me of another case, but where somebody also found out that they had a criminal past because we did the investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And but where I pointed out why in this particular case they shouldn't give them another chance was because they had misspelled their last name to the person that they were in a relationship with now. And when they gave that to me, when I first ran them, they came up clean because there was a misspelling of their name. It was the difference of one letter different. And but because of the having the date of birth and the last known address and things like that, we dug a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, we found, and then we checked with pictures and everything else to make sure that we had the right person.
Mm-hmm.
But so on the one hand, and she said, well, you know, when we ran it the first time, well, you know, it was a mistake that they made years ago. I, we all hopefully have, you know, the ability to give people a second chance and went through all of this. And then when we dug deeper, her feeling and mine as well was, no, you intended to hide this, you know, so, you know, had you just come up and given the correct spelling, but you were being deceptive today about what you did back then.
Yeah.
That was the problem.
Yeah. Same situation here. And, you know, there was a time when he was working with the IRS to set up payments because he had owed whatever. And I did it. We were at the computer. I saw his social security number and I helped him write the letter to the IRS. So you wouldn't think, I think he was a catch me if you can type of person. That's exactly who he was. He was a catch me. He was so cocky because mm-hmm. when it all came to light and I hired a lawyer, he called my lawyer and he said, prove it.
Oh,
prove it. Prove that she gave me money. I dare you. And then he said, you know, and if she files any sort of claims, I am going to make up stories about her job, things that she told me, which I know I hadn't done that. But he morphed. He was this. I'm like, who is that? The person that I know would never have done that. So this was a deliberate, well-orchestrated plan. And the fact that you were playing with my emotions, and I thought I loved him. He FaceTimed with my daughter every Sunday. Every Sunday. He met my sister. He met my nephews. So didn't think that to this extent what happened was actually happening.
Yeah. And I want to kind of get back to kind of your state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that that I believe I heard in one of your speeches was that when you started writing the book, that you said that you were angry and it was to expose him to the world.
Yes.
When did your motivation for writing the book shift and in what way?
Sure. So when it first happened, I mean, I spent the first 6 days in bed, literally unable to move. And he planned it in such a way that he knew I was having foot surgery and I was not mobile.
Hmm.
So he knew I couldn't, like, literally, I was home on crutches. And after I was able to move around, I've always journaled my whole life. I always journaled. I love to kind of write about my frame of mind now and then look back years later to see, wow, who this person was and how I evolved. And so I started writing. I would write letters to him and rip it up and, like, you know, things of that nature. So I decided to join a writing class, Gotham Writers, and I went. And initially it was out of anger, absolutely. And I wanted to expose him and expose people like him. But as I wrote, all these different fragments of my life kept coming into play. The abandonment, the abuse, the bullying, the church. So it became less about him and about my life in general and helping me to connect my traumas with my choices. So initially it was just about him, but everything else, all the emotions, everything just came into play. And I just kind of put it all together with him now just being a piece of it.
Yeah. You know, we've got some more questions that have come in. This one reads, I too am from Jamaica and I moved to the U.S. about 10 years ago. How did your Jamaican upbringing and immigration to the United States influence your life and your decisions? And this is from Amoy in Los Angeles.
Hi, Amoy. Thanks for the question. Well, I moved here, as I said, in the 70s. And I have always been so humbled by the opportunities that I had in the States, opportunities that were not readily available to me in Jamaica. We were very poor. We were very poor when I moved here as well. But what that did, it gave me such a fire to always try to grow and build a life. And I was fortunate enough that I found myself on Wall Street and built my career all the way up to a managing director. But I think I did that knowing where I came from and that I didn't have so much. And that really motivated me to kind of grow and build myself. And I always believed in helping others. And I think Javier also knew that. I believe that someone had to give me a chance and I would not be where I am today if someone had not given me a chance. And so I've always operated that way. So I looked at Jamaica, where I came from, to nothing, and all of these things that I now am benefiting from. And I've always believed, coupled with my belief in God, to help others along the way if I could. So I think it's a mixture of those things.
All right. We are talking with Donna Marie Hayes. We're talking about scams, but we're talking about so much more. Stay with us. We're going to be right back. You're listening to or watching Answers Network.
Conflict International are experts at uncovering the truth. Our specialist team has decades of experience in providing a range of bespoke investigation and intelligence services to companies and individuals. Whether you need professional screening or background checks of employees, due diligence of potential clients or business partners, asset tracing services, or surveillance, Conflict International has a rapid response team on hand to get you to the heart of the matter. Our key strength is in our global capabilities. We can tap into an extensive network of trusted professional investigators based in most jurisdictions worldwide, enabling us to go almost anywhere a case takes us. Conflict International has decades of experience with a diverse range of skills among our team, developed from backgrounds in military and security intelligence services, as well as practiced lawyers. Visit our website today at conflictinternational.com to find out more about our services. That's conflictinternational.com. Global reach, local knowledge.
And we're back. We're talking with Donna Marie Hayes, and we're talking about her book, These Broken Roads, Scammed and Vindicated, One Woman's Story. So, Donna, we were talking about, your history, your background. It puts you maybe in a position to be targeted by someone like Javier. What would you tell other women or other men for that matter? What are some of the things that they can do or look out for to keep this from happening to them?
Absolutely. I think you should always follow your intuition. If something feels not quite right, doesn't mean it's not right, but be mindful of it and ask direct questions. Quite often, you don't want to hurt someone's feelings, or you feel you're overreacting, or you feel that you're being too emotional. But if there's something that is not right, ask direct questions. If the answer is not satisfactory, explore some more. I think that we should show up in relationships whole, and as a complete human being without all the cracks that people like him can seep into, because sometimes we are wounded and we're broken. We've been through some traumatizing things, and sometimes it just seems easier to connect with someone else, and that will kind of help you. I think you should first take care of yourself, self-care, and then go into a relationship whole and complete, so you're not going in diminished. And when you go in diminished, people like who are predators can really pick up on that, because you're needy and you're so desperate to connect with someone, and they will use that. So I say, you know, ask the right questions, make sure that you're okay, because they can't fix you. You know, you're not supposed to go into a relationship for someone to complete you. You should already be complete and a whole person, and that person is just icing on the cake. So I would say absolutely do that. I would ask questions. I would do a background check, which is before your heart is involved. I did one, but I did it after my heart was involved. And then I excuse it away and says, okay, this is another human being. Let me just help that person. So those are the three top things I would absolutely say. You know, don't be worried about hurting feelings. Ask questions. This is your life. And you have a right to a happy life and all the things that you deserve. Don't give it up to someone else because you're afraid of that you may hurt their feelings.
I think it's all great advice. And again, so that those that maybe are out there, maybe there's a situation to where it has happened to them and it's hardened them. One of the things that I love about talking to you and learning about you is that you don't feel like this closed you off, like it didn't harden you to a point to where, okay, that's it. I'm not dating anybody. and although it might have for a while, but yeah. You know, so share a little bit about what kind of self-reflection, self-care, maybe counsel, you know, that helped you gain the strength and gave you the courage and the power that you were able to, you know, to rid yourself of that man.
Sure.
But also you allowed yourself to still be you. And I think that's one of the pieces of damage that these scammers or whatever that they do, when they take away somebody's ability to be themselves because they're now so worried about everybody.
Correct.
So share a little bit about that part of it, because I feel like you have gone through all of this and you've come out a better person.
Absolutely. As I said to you before, I'm a sailor that went through rough waters, and because of that, I'm a better sailor. For me to just be closed off and not enjoy my life, then he would really win. I have one life and I will enjoy it to the fullest. That experience that I had with him was a learning experience. Because of that, I formed a company, Distinguished Coaching LLC, and I now coach women who may have gone through certain sort of traumas to help them move forward. I still have my life. I still have a beautiful life that I live and that I enjoy. And, you know, initially when it first happened, I was terrified. I was. Oh my God, who are you really? What are you really up to? What, you know, but that's not really fair to this person did not do that. So the way I look at it, I have one life to live, and for me to give that to him and be shut off and just stay in my apartment, close off, then he wins. When there's a beautiful life out there to still live and to still enjoy. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm going to have. I met a lot of women after this happened to me, because normally I'm not for confrontation or chaos. That's not what I gravitate towards. But once he did that, I'm like, you know what? I'm calling the FBI. I've never called the FBI before. I called the FBI. I went to the FTC. I went to the district attorney. I went to the police station. I filed a lawsuit. I did all the things that I would not normally do. And that was my way of standing up. And I'm not going to be afraid. And I have nothing to be ashamed of, because I didn't do it. You did it. Yeah, so absolutely. I still have an amazing life. I just now have this amazing lesson that I can use to inspire and motivate and encourage others and say, you are still beautiful. You are still worthy of love. Just throw him back in the pile and keep living your amazing life. That is how I would present that.
I couldn't have said it better. It is so wonderful. And if there's any message that anybody can get from this, that right there, that is the message that I think everybody needs to get. Now, let's talk about when you realized you won, that you were vindicated. How did that feel?
It felt amazing because, you know, I filed a lawsuit. against him. He had someone else that helped him who, you know, that's still an ongoing matter. So I'm not going to talk much about that. But when I filed the lawsuit and he didn't show up to court, and I automatically got a judgment against him. And I said, I want this judgment in every possible municipality. And what's so interesting, and this is not in the book because it's more of a recent event, in March of this year, an enforcement company found him.
Good.
And he's living, and it, just FYI, he had a girlfriend all along while he was with me and spending every weekend. We're not sure if she's a co-conspirator, what the case may be, but we found a bank account. They found a bank account and they froze it and they diverted all the money to me. He then called, and I mean, it was only a drop in the bucket to what he took from me, but still, he then called and asked if he could make a payment plan. No, not gonna happen. So the way I look at it is, he can never own a home or buy a car or get a job legally without me being involved, without me getting a portion of that. Or you live under a bridge or under the grid. Either way, it feels good that I took some sort of action as opposed to saying, you know what, let God or karma get it.
You know, I want to add to that too, because I know that things have kind of altered from a societal standpoint of people not wanting to get involved. You know, it's, well, you know, I don't want to get involved. Well, one of the biggest aspects about what you did is there is now fewer people that he's going to be able to do that to.
Absolutely.
There is now a record of this. So that when somebody does a background on someone like that and they go, well, wait a minute, this guy just did this to someone else.
Absolutely.
So for those people that say, well, you know, it's a hassle or it's embarrassing or whatever, take what you feel and think about that and go, would you wish that on anybody else? And if you wouldn't, then do what you have to do to keep these people from doing it to others. And it's the only way we can really make a dent in it.
Absolutely. I met a woman who, she was engaged to some guy. She was engaged to him, been with him for 3 years. And, you know, he took a lot of her pension money. Now she has to go back to work. I met another woman who was very, very successful. Her boyfriend stole a lot of her money and she moved into a shelter. And they both said, I didn't want to talk about it. I was too ashamed. I was too hurt. People would think I'm foolish. Hey, I'm speaking up. And I hope that my story will help someone, inspire someone, motivate someone, and really look at their situation and assess it clearly and make a decision based on who that person is and not be ashamed.
Well, we have another question that is coming in.
Sure.
This one reads, I am a single Black mother living in Chicago, raising two children, ages 6 and 8. It takes every bit of energy I can find. How did you manage to break free as a single mother and achieve the success that you have? And this is from Lakeisha.
Sure. So it took a lot of hard work. I was going to school. I was in college. I was working from 7:30 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon and taking college classes from 4 p.m. until 10 o'clock with a young baby because my ex-husband deserted us when she was only a year old. And he did not support us in any way. We had no food. My friends would take food out of their cabinets to give to us. Pork and beans and bread and cheese and what have you, just to feed her. But I knew that with hard work and dedication, I could do it. So it's really a mindset. It's really believing that you can, and opportunities that present themselves to you, take advantage of it. It's not easy. But on the other side of this, you know, I could think of living in Jamaica, you know, using an outhouse, and now I live on the Upper East in a very affluent neighborhood. And that's not bragging, just to show that you can. You know, I had a little baby all by myself, and with no money and with no food, but you can do it. And, you know, and once she went off to college, I packed up and I left. And I found that sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. After I got out of that relationship, I was able to see who I was and what my potential is and grow from that, both personally and professionally. So just believe that you can, because you can, and just always, always love yourself because you're worthy of that.
Now, how does your daughter feel about this book and about mom making this statement to the world?
She's my number one supporter. She's been with me all along. Most of the things that I've experienced, I experienced with her. And while I was writing this book, I would say, "So tell me, is this how you remembered it?" And, you know, so she's really amazing. She actually lives on the West Coast, and she's incredibly supportive of me. And she's one of my number one fan. And I'm really, really happy that I have her to kind of be my champion, because she knows the story. She lived it with me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, now the fun part. Tell us about your New York City cabaret show, and what's the next act going to be for you?
Sure. So as you know, I'm a SAG actress. I've done some bit parts in movies and stage, but I'm also a cabaret singer. So my book comes out tomorrow. And on this Friday, I'll be doing I figured since my artistic roots are in music, including cabaret, what better way to celebrate my book than with a cabaret show? So the first hour, I'm be singing maybe a very eclectic mix of songs, you know, from some show tunes, some Bob Marley, some Nancy Sinatra. It's a very, some Tracy Chapman, you know, so that's the first hour with the band. And then the second hour, I'll be signing books. So yes, that's my cabaret show, is this coming Friday at the Cutting Room.
That's this coming Friday at the Cutting Room in New York City.
Yes.
All right. So I don't know how many people we have out in New York, but, that's certainly something that if I was out there, I would take it in. And it's interesting. I've got a great relationship with both of my sons, but mm-hmm. with one of them, we take in cabaret shows.
Yeah.
he's 27.
Okay.
And one of my favorite stories is that for his 21st birthday, and we're in Southern California, and I thought, okay, he's going to want to go to Vegas. So I told him that if he wants to go to Vegas, I'll get a room out there. He can invite some of his friends, and you guys can, you know, you can celebrate turning 21 in Vegas. And he said, you know, Dad, I appreciate that. He goes, can I just go with you and we'll take in a couple of, you know, cabaret variety shows and
wow.
stuff. That touches my heart.
Of course. Of course.
He loves that. And so, and he also loves to get dressed up.
Okay.
So if we go to a show, he's in a suit.
He
is styling.
Nice.
So here we are, we're walking through Vegas. He's in a suit and we saw one show, and I'm looking at my watch, and it's like 11:58, and he turns 21 in 2 minutes. And so we go into whatever the closest bar was, and we go in there. Here he is. He's in a nice suit, and he asks the guy for a drink, and it's like right as it hits midnight, and the guy looks at his ID, and he can't put it together. So he calls over another bartender, and they're trying to figure it out. And then they started laughing, and they said, am I right? You've been 21 for 1 minute?
I love it. Yeah, he's 21.
Yep, and this is my dad. Believe me, if I was out in New York, I would be out there, or we would be out there taking in the cabaret show.
Yeah, we're very excited. I have a full band, and it's be a mixture of telling stories and reading excerpts from the book and singing maybe about a set list of about 13 songs.
Yeah. Well, what's your favorite song, and could I entice you to give us a little bit of a preview?
Oh, one of my favorite songs is 50%. It's a song about a woman who is in a relationship with someone, although she knows deep down that he doesn't really truly belong to her, but she's so settled for just 50% of him. That's kind of one of my favorite numbers.
Could we entice you to give us a little bit a cappella?
Sure. I don't iron his shirts. I don't sew on his buttons. I don't know all the jokes he tells or the songs he hums. Though I may hold him all through the night, he may not be he. When the morning comes, just that person.
That's wonderful. Everybody, this is Donna Marie Hayes. The book is These Broken Roads, Scammed and Vindicated, One Woman's Story. And believe me, it is more than just informational. When you start reading it, you'll realize there are some twists that is very heartfelt. Some things are a little tough, but you realize that there was a lot of power to get through all of this. So Donna, I assume that you said the book's going to be released tomorrow. Anywhere books are sold.
Everywhere books
are sold. I'll put a little bit of a plug in for people to, if you have your favorite local bookstore, pick up the phone, call them, ask if they have it. If they don't, ask them to order it. Let's keep a lot of these neighborhood bookstores around. They provide an incredible service. If you have one you like, how about you pick it up there?
That's amazing. Thank you so much for the support. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Donna. And please stay in touch. Would love to know what the next journey is going to
be. I certainly will. It would be an honor. Thank you.
Thank you. Sure. Now, for everybody out there, please visit our archives of past interviews at Answers Network, or you can just subscribe. You can do it through Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, Rumble, Spreaker, and so many other popular podcast platforms. And if you like what you hear, please leave a review. I want you to know that it will help us reach more people, and we greatly appreciate it. Now, the next time that you're on Instagram, Facebook, or X, or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts. If you like them, please like us and spread the word. Now, for everybody out there, be good human beings. Be with us next week on Answers Network.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.